Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bose & Company. I am your host, Emily O, and welcome to our show once again. I hope you all are having a great Monday or whenever you are listening to this. Hello. I'm joined by Anne, my mother. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Fourth week in a row.
I'm honored that I keep getting invited back.
We have a great show for you today. We have some good topics, but first we're going to start off and jump in with our bows and lows. Mm. What has happened this week that has been both positive and potentially negative?
Okay, that's a great question. I will definitely say that my bow is that we had a really fun dinner party last night with two couples, our couple friends, and it was wonderful. The food, the company, the weather cooperated.
Which
didn't really matter, but it just really added to the night.
Yes. If you follow me on Instagram, then you've seen that I've been documenting it. And there's nothing quite as lovely as a summer dinner party. You can't beat it.
And just inviting somebody into your home and preparing a meal. And thankfully, everything turned out well.
Oh, it turned out beautifully.
I mean, there's always a backup. I could have ordered pizza.
Always a backup. And you know what? It's really about the company, who you are with.
Yes.
So that is, but your meals, we had the leftovers tonight. We're actually recording this. The past couple weeks, we've been doing it literally at the last second on Sunday. Yes. Today, we're doing it on Saturday because we're actually entertaining again tomorrow, which we'll get to. But we had your leftovers tonight and they were delicious. So I can only imagine how they tasted fresh out of the oven. Ooh, yesterday.
They were good. I made a new app. Do you want me to tell you what I made?
Yeah, please do.
I made a new appetizer that was scrumptious.
Yes.
It was feta whipped with a mascarpone and then some roasted strawberries that had balsamic vinegar on them.
It was so good. And you had it with Melba toast, or that's how we ate it tonight.
Yes, you could do it. It said like you could do it with toast that was grilled or something. Melba toast just seemed...
Melba toast is so underrated, I feel like, when you're cooking at home. I feel like I have Melba toast when I go to a restaurant. Mm. But like, let's circle back in with Melba toast. Like, add that to a cheese
There's
board.
Only one restaurant I know of.
Yeah.
And it's an old school type environment. And they do Melba toast. And I love it.
Melba toast and butter.
I could go with a glass of wine, Melba toast, and a little bit of dessert.
Oh, that trio right there.
And I want something on the Melba toast.
Yeah, a spread of some sort, a schmear.
So that's why this was so, it was really good. Because the Melba toast lets the topping be the star.
It totally does.
You know what? I summed it up right there.
You totally did.
Melba toast is underrated, but if you have the proper topping on it, it's a star.
Yes, I love that. So your friendly reminder to incorporate some Melba toast in an upcoming meal of some sort. So you did a ginger jar and orange theme.
When we kind of talked last week and I was really thinking about it as I was trying to figure out how to do the tablescape, which is my favorite part. And I naturally tend to go to blue.
Of course, especially here with the setting. How could you not?
It's just an easy thing. And I went with blue and orange.
And I like it. I think there was some discussion you were potentially going to do pink. But the orange really let that royal blue pop a lot more. I don't know. It made it cooler.
Well, it's not as feminine to me. And I didn't want to do pink.
It was giving Positano. It was giving... Mm-hmm. I don't know, the heart of summer. I really loved it. Yeah.
Thank you. And I actually filled a little bowl with oranges on the table.
Yeah. And then there was just some oranges kind of scattered around. Like you put one next to the flower arrangement by the sink, kind of in that like bay window. And I really liked it as well.
And I happened to find, I went to Home Goods for some inspiration. I really hadn't been there a long time. And I walked around and I found.
You found all of those ginger jars
really
there.
Really good
finds.
And a bowl and another smaller bowl and candlesticks for pillar candles. And I zoomed on over to Target and I got unscented pillar candles.
Mm-hmm.
That looked really cute. And then I found two sailboats that were kind of canvas sails on it. And it had a hideous starfish. And it was sort of an aqua bad color, but I bought both of them and I got crafty.
You were crafting this weekend.
Yes. In fact, one of the guests last night said that she loves crafts and
Who doesn't?
Told her what I did.
I bet she was dying.
It was loosely a craft. I went and got some blue paint when I was at Target, acrylic paint. And it was very soothing.
She's a painter.
I just painted over the light blue and I made it dark blue and I took the hideous starfish off and it looked like coastal two little boats.
It looked like they came from Serena and Lily.
It was really
I didn't realize we had an artiste at the table. That's so
it was really fun. I just sat there alone.
You guys had Hugo spritzes as well. my love.
Dad did an amazing job.
Yeah.
He was making the Hugo spritzes, and then, you know, you don't want to force a signature drink. You know how, right. how we feel. And right. I do love a signature drink at a party like this. We don't want to force it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it is very festive.
And so
he went ahead and he made, we had everything out for it. And he made three of them and he put them in the refrigerator. And so when our guests came in, there were four people that came in. He said, do you guys want this? And he opened the refrigerator. They all screamed because they were beautiful. He had them sitting in there and he just handed them. And somebody was like, this is like a cooking show.
Oh, that's so cute.
He did a great job. And then I think he made three more. So we all walked around, talked, had Hugo spritzes.
And did you give him a tour of the house?
I did. So the Hugo spritzes were great. And then just as a little adjustment, I had a couple extra oranges. So I sliced the oranges and Dad put mint and an orange slice in the Hugo spritz. So then the drink kind of tied in.
I noticed that there were orange slices in some of the glasses as you were cleaning up. So I did catch on to that. Did you like the Hugo with an orange slice? Because I don't know if we've ever, is it normally, it's not supposed to be served like, well, honestly, like you could serve it however you want, but normally it's like a lime and mint. I really like the orange and the mint.
We just kind of veered off a little bit.
You're like, sorry, I have a tablescape that I need to tie this back into.
I mean, I don't know. I guess then I was going green and orange, but we threw it in there.
No, I like it. I think any fruit really matches well with the Hugo.
And then we used a big wine glass.
Mm.
Yeah. It's delicious.
A lot of ice.
A lot of ice.
Oh, my gosh.
He made it. He did it so well.
Yeah.
The Saint Germain.
What was the, yeah, the Saint Germain. What was on the menu?
Before we get to the menu, though, we had a cabinet that used to be in the living room, and we moved it into the kitchen per our designer's suggestion, which was an excellent one.
Excellent.
And yesterday, I really enjoyed the cabinet opens, and it's pretty inside. It's got glass shelves and some marble and a drawer, and I had fun kind of setting it up yesterday. So I put the alcohol in the cabinet.
Yeah.
Different glasses, some stir sticks. It was like I was playing house in it. But that was kind of fun. So we had that cabinet open. I've never used it before like that.
I also like how it kind of, that corner feels like so much more open. Maybe because it has the mirror and that, you know, cozy rattan to it. But it was marvelous. I saw it before I left.
It's great.
And took pictures of it, luckily. So mm-hmm. I really liked that. Mm-hmm. It was the first time that we had used that new, would you call that an etagere? Would that be considered an etagere?
I think so, because it has shelves in
it. I believe so.
Let's just use it.
Yeah, a mirrored etagere. I do. Mm-hmm. I love that word.
And then I like you just close it and you don't even know what's in there.
Yes, and you can also leave, you know, the liquor or the bar, the tools for the bar cart and stuff.
It's all in there.
It's all in there. It's wonderful. So what was on the menu?
On the menu, we had chicken that has like a nice barbecue that sauce with honey in it. And I marinated it all day. So 24 hours.
Wow.
And then you brush it with a honey topping. And then it has a little bit of bacon on top, tomatoes and scallions. And because I marinated it for 24 hours, it was delicious.
I had the leftovers.
You grill
it
or bake it.
Mm-hmm. And did you bake?
I baked.
Yeah. You're a baker kind of chicken gal.
I am.
Yeah.
And I like it because it takes maybe 35, 40 minutes. So I put it in just as they were coming in the door on a cookie sheet with parchment paper. And then about 35 minutes later, I just kind of walked away, checked it, gave it another 10 minutes or so. And then it's ready. And you can take it out, put the bacon, the tomatoes, the scallion on top, put it back in the oven for 5 minutes, and then you're ready to serve it.
Wow.
And so there's no, it's all the prep work is
so
done.
So slick.
Mm-hmm.
A real good hosting recipe.
It was great. It's really easy. Okay, so I did that. And then I also, I did a corn salad, the Ina Garten. I think we talked about that before.
Yes.
That's a staple. We had that for leftovers tonight. Mm,
so
delicious.
Good. So good. I feel like I don't have corn enough.
And it was a very colorful plate, which is always a
good
sign.
That it was.
Yes. And then I just did lettuce, just greens. And my friend just put the salad dressing on it and lightly tossed it. And then I did a watermelon and blueberry and mint fresh
fruit
salad.
Pretty actually like a healthy dinner when you break it down.
It was.
Because it was a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables.
And then lemonade pie.
Which we had, because since it makes two, we talked about this on last week's episode. We had the second pie tonight. Mm-hmm. And it was so divine. And everyone this week, or since I've shared it, has really gotten into the lemonade pie.
It's delicious.
It's so good.
And we ate it outside on the patio. And I was kind of checking because you want to see, you know, when you make something, if everyone likes it,
right,
gone.
They loved it. Good, good. That's mm-hmm. great to hear.
Mm-hmm. And I put some raspberries on top
to garnish on top. I liked that mm-hmm. touch. It really popped against the white. Pretty. Yeah. And then today was also great. We had the leftovers, like I said. So they were here for quite some time, like 6 to midnight.
Oh my gosh. We took a nice walk. Yeah. We laughed. We talked. It was really fun.
Yeah. Well, we loved following along on your dinner party journey.
They also, because we had talked last week about hostess gifts, and I love hostess gifts. And my one friend brought a beautiful floral arrangement that she made in a gorgeous vase.
It was really pretty.
It's still sitting. I mean, it's going to sit out for a while. It's so pretty. So that was really sweet and thoughtful. Also because she had to carry it on her lap.
Right.
The whole drive. And then my other friend, also, this is a great idea to add to your list of hostess things. She went to a local candy shop and she brought 3 different sweet treats and she tied it all up with an anchor ribbon.
And they were both sitting out on the island when we came back home. And I thought, well, what are these little gifts? It was really, really thoughtful.
Beautiful. Very thoughtful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought those were really strong hostess
flowers
gifts
and candy. I mean, you can't beat it.
Can't beat it. So fitting with, you know, what we were talking about last week.
Yeah,
and then
now
it's just a full circle moment, everyone. Well, that is just marvelous. We loved hearing about the dinner party. That was definitely a bow for you. Mm-hmm. And I would say a bow for me this week was our lovely.
I forgot to ask you.
No, I ask myself. I'm the hostess. I'm not. Okay. No, that's not your job. That's my job. It's okay. We shopped the Nordstrom anniversary sale
early
this week.
Fun.
That was on Tuesday. And it was such a great day. We wanted to go in person because the anniversary sale can be a very overwhelming sale. Mm-hmm. And as seasoned shoppers like ourselves, we admit that because there's a lot of inventory to sift through. And it's also July. So it's like, what do I even need for the fall? You don't mentally want to go there. But we have shopped the anniversary sale like growing up. It's so funny going back, like when we were at Nordstrom, like this is my entire childhood because I feel like we would get all of our fall clothes and winter clothes during this sale. And I also feel like when you would shop it in person back in the day, they would have tents. We would shop with this one personal shopper. Her name was Kim. She'd have a Fitbit on. Like
She was keeping track of her steps.
It was our Super Bowl, right? And I was like 11. And I was like, yeah, mom, this is a big deal.
And it was also strange because a long time ago, you would pick out your stuff, but you couldn't take it.
Right.
What?
I don't know.
Who thought that was a good idea?
I don't know, but that's how serious it was.
It was so serious. And so you would shop it and then they would hold on to it. I can't even imagine where they stored everyone's stuff that they were buying. And then you would have to come back later and pick it up. And by later, I mean a week or two.
And like, what was the difference between that week that I couldn't get my sweater that I wasn't even going to wear until October anyway?
And was it a way to get you back into the store? So that you were then, I don't understand it.
I think maybe it was a
stressful way
to like just, and it kind of worked, like such an exclusivity to the sale, right? Because that's the only thing I can think of other than the fact that logistically it was completely asinine.
Right. I don't remember the details. I just know that there were some years you could pre-shop and you would pick it up later.
I
felt like I was there constantly for the sale. I would take each of you for a little bit for a little special outing, one-on-one.
Yes.
And we would pick out some things for school. I will say, year after year, I think now we're just all so used to online shopping.
Uh-huh.
But year after year, when all of a sudden in September, October, the weather would change, I was relieved because I had something from the Nordstrom sale.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yes. And I feel like the past couple years, you know, I don't know, something's going on with Nordstrom. It kind of dipped down a bit and we kind of like just scoffed at the sale because we didn't feel as though it was, maybe this is just coming from experience, but I do feel like there was a bit of a resurgence on social media with it this year and we really gave it a chance.
Interesting.
And I've got to say, it's a sale. You know,
I think it's good. I think they have some, they don't have, which I think is better. In the past, the quantity of things was overwhelming. And this, they still have a lot, but... And in our Cleveland store, I mean, if you're in a bigger city, would have even access to more things. But in store at Cleveland, they had a nice selection.
Yeah.
And I did feel better about it. I was happy for Nordstrom.
Me too.
Because I didn't have such...
I left with a good feeling and I left with like, I felt like I got stuff that was really marked down and that were actually things that I wanted and, you know, will use in my wardrobe. So I'm sharing and covering the entire event over on my Instagram and everything is linked on my shop Like to Know It page. So if you want to start shopping on Monday when this is released, I guess it's the start of the sale. It's July 17th. It's open to everybody. We went and shopped early because we had early access for card member holders. But by the time this episode goes up, it's going to be live for everybody too. So definitely, you know, check out the sale.
Well, and I think it helped also for you to try on the items. I always prefer to see somebody wearing it.
Yes.
And then we were mixing and we actually were really having a fun time.
We had a great time.
We were playing dress up and you were mixing and matching different things. Mm-hmm. There's a Veronica Beard blazer. There were three blazers that we had in our store. A tweed one, a green one, and then I don't know if it's leather or pleather. I'm not really sure.
Oh, I forgot about that one with the dickie.
Yes. Yeah. And it comes with the dickie, which is a really cool thing because you usually have to buy that separately.
Yeah.
And it was a taupe color. So if you ever really want a blazer, this would be a great opportunity to get one.
And I mentioned this today on my story on my Instagram saying like it's Veronica Beard's 33% off. VB doesn't do that. They don't mark down like that. Sometimes on the website, like I know you've gotten blazers for us on sale before, but they're you have to like pay attention.
And I was trying to think just now as we were sitting here, if I had to pick one.
Yeah.
I'm kind of torn because the one that has the dickie has the dickie. So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But the tweed one is pretty cool.
I would go with the tweed one just because I felt like we were able to style it way more. And I also think that the tweed one will take you straight through winter, whereas I feel like that vegan leather, I mean, both are absolutely fabulous. You cannot go wrong with anything from Veronica Beard. But I did feel like if you were someone who wants a Veronica Beard piece, it's your first item in the wardrobe, that is the best blazer to go for.
And you really could still wear it. You could wear it with white pants.
Yep.
You could put on cool white linen shorts with it. You could honestly wear that all year round.
That's what I'm saying.
And then it had a coordinating dress if you wanted both.
Yeah. So overall,
what would you say was your favorite? I mean, we talked about the blazer, but what was the favorite thing that you brought home?
Oh, what a great question. Oh my God. Thank you so much. there was that open edit top, I think, that mock neck sleeveless top. I don't know. It was so simple. It was kind of like a ribbed sweater material. It's linked. And I just thought it was so flattering. And I liked it because I can wear it now. And then you could also wear it, you know, straight into the fall. A fabulous transition piece because it was a sweater material, but you're not weighed down.
I did like that one.
It also just like that cut where it kind of like swooshes down and it's really flattering on everyone.
And it has almost a little cap sleeve. It's cute. Okay, now ask me what was your favorite item that you got.
What was your favorite item from the sale that I purchased as well? That's for me.
I love the Steve Madden ballet flats.
That was going to be number two. Yep. That's going to be number two. So you guys know that I, you know, love ballet flats. And I received a pair of Chanel ballet flats for Christmas. And I've been wearing those.
Santa.
And I wear those all the time. And they're comfortable and they're wonderful and they're great investment piece. However, Steve Madden has come out with their little flat for the season. It comes in three different colors. I actually purchased it in two.
It's four.
Four different colors. I purchased it in two. So I have half of the styles. And they look completely like a Chanel dupe. And they're, I think they were like
darling.
$60. They're on sale for $60. Super comfortable. True to size. Very Sophia Richie.
60 or 70. I'm not sure. It's right around there.
Under 100. But if you if you go into the office, if you just need a shoe.
So cute. It's black with black patent leather, taupe with black, like a little black toe, and adorable. They didn't have these in store for us. A pink tweed. That was so cute. And then a gold and black combo.
Yeah. It was really
I mean, there were so many things, but for some reason, I think it's because it just kept looking good with everything that you were putting on.
Yes. And we only mostly tried everything on with those two pairs of shoes, the Mark Fisher heels and the Steve Madden flats.
Not to be negative about the Nordstrom sale, but one thing I found lacking is I love coats. And maybe because every year I always depended on finding a really different kind of coat. At least in our store, I didn't love the coats.
I didn't see coats.
There was a big, it was cute. It just didn't look great on you. It was that big, long green one. And then it also came in white.
I also feel like we've seen that, been there, done that. Yeah. I do feel like growing up, there would be like so many coats coming to the dressing room. And it was like your time where you bought the coats for the year.
Right.
But store-wide, I didn't see it.
No, I'm going to have to research that online. I didn't check out the coats online.
Yeah.
And see. But we had a great day.
It was so fun. And then the rest
of
the
day. We did go upstairs and we found your little tile.
Oh my gosh.
So sweet. So years ago, I think that you were maybe like 8. They yeah. invited people with children to come because they were kind of redoing the children's section. And you made a tile. And so did Claire. All three of you made a tile. And it's in the little children's department.
It's been there.
So we found it. It was so cute. It was a little handbag.
It was a purple handbag with beads. And I was like, oh my gosh. Yes. 8-year-old Emily has not changed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That really was fun. Cute.
We don't really go upstairs. I honestly hadn't been in Nordstrom in store since I don't know when.
I was there recently with Elizabeth.
I mean, we had gone the week before, but prior to that, I don't remember the last time I was there.
And we checked out the home department. They had some really cute things.
Yes.
Nice to see those in person.
For sure.
And then we also did really well. We bought Dad some stuff.
Yes.
And they had some really sharp, if there are any men in your life, Hugo Boss had a fantastic blazer,
yes.
blue and white one. We bought two different Hugo Boss blazers for Dad.
Yeah. He looked good in them.
And there are some nice Peter Millar pants.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was just adjusting. Mm-hmm. Very nice Peter Millar pants. I feel like the men's section is always robust and bountiful with things at Nordstrom. They have a good men's department, at least at our store. So
it was grand.
It was grand. And the rest of the day, we did some shopping for an upcoming trip that I'm going on. So I'm going on a trip this weekend with some gals. I'm really looking forward to it. So that day, we also did some prep work for it. So be sure to follow me on like my active day of socials, like Instagram and TikTok, because I will be covering the event there. So I don't really think that we have lows for this week.
I have a random low. It's not that big of a deal, but it's sort of goofy. And I really noticed it yesterday when we were sitting out on the patio. We have about a cluster of maybe 6 or 7 arborvitae. And during the construction, I don't think I mentioned this last time, but during the construction, they had a machine out in the back doing something. And the exhaust from the machine like caused a stripe across all 6 of our gorgeous arborvitae.
Yeah.
And it burned every, a big
like
line.
What?
It's like I have a stripe across the arborvitae.
Yeah.
And it's a real bummer because they're beautiful and they've grown in so nicely.
Yeah.
And I talked to my guy who works in the yard, Joe, and he said, I think we could just cut it out and we'll see if it fills in. And I'm sitting outside on the patio yesterday and I turned around and it caught my eye because he cut it out. So it looks really strange. And I think I'm going to try the green spray.
I think you should.
Because I'm going to also tell everyone, last night we have 1 boxwood. So we're kind of getting the landscaping put back into place at the lake house. And we have planters on outside. And one of them had a dead boxwood in it dying. It's like kind of brown, kind of not. But it was throwing everything off. And I took the spray outside and a piece of cardboard. And I sprayed that in the 95-degree weather.
It was so hot.
It made the biggest difference.
Yeah, it looked great. And it was like an hour before the party started. But
it was worth trying because I couldn't last minute get a new boxwood that would be the same size as the other 6 that are in planters.
Right, right.
So I think it was raining today. I'm going to try just to kind of make an illusion with your eyes if you go look at the arborvitae and you see that it's kind of cut out a stripe across it. So I will let everyone know how that goes.
Well, we will be on the edge of our seats. But yeah, that was a really funny thing that did happen to the arborvitae.
Just crazy.
A collateral plant.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that now we're going to move on to the topic for the show today. I asked everyone on Bose and Company Instagram to kind of write in with questions, but more so like advice. I kind of was trying to do like a scenario advice thing. I'm not quite sure if that came across, which we'll get to that later. But I did receive some really great questions, very, very specific questions.
Oh my gosh.
And I rounded the ones that I wanted to talk about today for you to answer.
They're just for me. Okay.
Did that make sense? Did I explain that correctly?
I think
you guys wrote in. We're going to answer your questions.
Okay.
That's long
story. We're both answering it together.
Yeah. Yes, we're both answering it together.
Okay, good.
But I told them on Instagram that you were going to be on the show. So I think that they knew that it was getting directed towards you.
Okay.
The first question that somebody asked is advice on what to talk about with people you host. Social anxiety here, which I think this is a very real thing for people because you want to host, but I understand that it can be difficult, especially if these are new people you want to, you know, impress or have friends over. So what would be like your one little easy, tangible piece of advice to give somebody?
Well, I think if you are hosting people, you definitely already have some sort of a connection because chances are you are inviting people over that you do like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a good place to start would be whatever it is that you have in common. And I think always asking if you can have general questions in the back of your head that you that would fit for anyone, that might be a good way to start.
Yeah.
You know, asking, people love to talk about their jobs or what they like to do. I mean, last night we got into a whole discussion about things that we used to do in college.
Cute.
Because none of us went to college together. I think that could be a good thing. Definitely starting with asking a lot of questions of the other people, and then that can get some conversation going. I am also a big fan, if you do have social anxiety, first of all, that's amazing that you're putting yourself in a situation where you are inviting people over.
Totally. That's a great point.
Because I do think it's extremely generous of your time, of everything, to invite people over. And maybe even getting a little box of conversation starters.
Yes.
Or printing, going online and printing out conversation starters. And I used to do that with you when you were little and you were having friends over. They would just be in the middle of the table if we were doing something. Because that can also take the pressure off the host, because you're getting the food ready. You're getting everything ready.
Or maybe just buy a box and memorize them all.
Yeah, really.
And then you can have all of your questions right there. Also a good idea. No, I like that idea. We would have to do that, especially, well, you did it when I was younger, but also I remember like in family gatherings, I think that the cousins would also, you know, just like with your own family members.
Well, I think too, when you were little and we were going somewhere, we would review questions that you could ask the people.
Yes.
If we were going to go see relatives or whatever, what are some things that you could talk about? And that could even go with somebody who's having social anxiety. You know, we would talk about on elaborating instead of, and I still try and do that. If somebody asks me a question, I'm very good at elaborating. Don't just answer with one word.
Yeah.
You know, if someone says to a little kid, where do you go to school? Answer where you go to school, but then give us a couple other details.
I also think when you're hosting, like, you can talk about the environment a little bit more. Like, oh, talk about what you're making, preparing, if there's a table spread, you know, when's the last time you had people over? Like, I talk, especially when you're at dinner, I love talking about what's going on around me. Talk about the weather.
I'm also going to suggest, too, if you have social anxiety and you are hosting, have everybody bring something.
Oh.
Because when everybody brings something, if you're in the mood to have them do that, it makes it more collaborative.
Totally.
And a community thing. Or if you're hosting, maybe do something where it's interactive, where you're going to make pizza or you're going to make
an activity of some
Sunday,
sort.
Some sort of an activity that would help.
And that, I feel like, applies to like new friends, going on a date. I always like an activity a little bit more of a purpose. Keeps people distracted, keeps people loose.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think that's great advice.
Hope that helps.
Yeah. So that was the first question we received. Thoughtful / adorable gifts for a friend who just had a baby.
Okay. Well, you and I just took a baby gift recently.
We did.
To our friend Laura, who had her third baby girl. And I think we talked about this before, but we did books. And we did a little tiny canvas bag. Anything personalized, I think, is lovely. We did a little canvas bag for each girl
with their
monogram on it. And then I put three books in each bag and it was super cute. We did get and then there was a basket, a bin from Amazon. It said books on it. And I also threw in, I was really excited for them, Chappie Wrap. I'm loving this blanket. Chappie Wrap has a miniature blanket that has the ABCs on it.
It's so precious.
It's really cute. And then we gave that so they can spread it out. They can carry it around. They can fill those bags up with stuff. But I do think, or I always like, well, you can't go wrong with books.
I love books. I love them.
We are hosting Connor's whole family tomorrow.
Yes.
And his niece, Claire and Connor's niece, is turning one. And we are giving her books.
And you wrapped it up. Do I see a pail?
In a sand pail. It's so cute. And I put a little bag in there as well. Like, it's just a little tiny canvas bag.
Like a little beach bag.
Yes.
It's so cute.
And just three little books in a pail, cellophane wrapped. You really can't go wrong with books.
I love that
And
answer.
I do like an outfit.
Obviously clothes. But if you're, maybe if this is somebody who you don't like know is, I don't know. I like the book idea. I think that's fresh.
That's also a cute idea if you know someone who just became a grandma. Or grandpa. That's also cute to give them some books.
I love it. Okay, going off with the children question that this is the one that I thought that I was going to ask you. So new mom advice for a 28-year-old with a cutie 5-month-old and a wonderful husband. Well, sounds like you're doing great.
I know.
I thought that was such a cute question.
These are so specific,
which I love.
And she just wants what kind of advice?
New mom advice. What's one piece of new mom advice we can give this girl?
Take a nap whenever you can.
Love to hear it. That's a good
advice. And a 5-month-old, that's still good. But I still think you oftentimes, as a new mom, whether you're at work or you're home working, whatever you're doing, you think, okay, I'm going to take, when the baby's down, I'm going to get all of this stuff done. And yes, there are times that you have to do it. But try to weave in just a little bit of a nap for yourself.
You heard it here first. Anne told you all to take a nap. You must rest. You are nothing without your health, ladies. You have to lay down.
I just think it's hard to do it because you put the baby down and then you just like tear out of there and you try and get a whole bunch of things done. And you never get everything done that you think that you're going to get done. So make sure you just throw in a little nap there. Yeah, take a family nap. Get your cutie pie husband and everyone take a family nap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Snuggle. Okay. Next question is getting married in September. Gift ideas for the mother of the bride or mother of the groom. So MOV or MOG. First of all, congratulations.
Well, wonderful. Claire gave me lotion, Coco Chanel, which kind of stood for the CNC lotion. Yep. And also a beautiful 5x7 picture frame.
Was it engraved?
It was not engraved, but that to me would be a lovely present.
Yeah, those
are for both.
Two good suggestions.
Is a really nice picture frame.
I love it.
Because then I put the picture in as soon as I got a little sneak peek.
Imagine that.
I went and got a 5x7 and I put it right out and I had a beautiful frame that meant something to me because it had come from Claire.
It was a beautiful frame. Invited to a rehearsal dinner out of state at the groom's house. Mm-hmm. My friend is the bride. Should I bring his parents a gift for hosting, gifts for bride and groom? Okay, so let me get this straight. Did you get that?
Okay, I feel like I need a notepad.
Wait, so she's invited to a rehearsal dinner that's out of state.
Okay.
At the groom's house, but her friend is the bride. So she's going to be on the bride's side, but the rehearsal dinner is at the groom's house. Yeah, got it. The groom is hosting the rehearsal dinner at his house, but they're out of state. And then she's wondering, should I bring his parents a gift for hosting?
Ooh.
But for hosting the rehearsal dinner?
Right. My gut reaction is no.
I don't think so.
What I would do is you could, after the rehearsal dinner, write a lovely note to them. Because typically, if I'm going to say traditionally, the groom's family would host the rehearsal dinner anyway. This one just happens to be at their home. Of course, you could bring something. But I think there's so much going on and so much hoopla that it would almost add to potentially the chaos of hosting rehearsal dinner at their home.
I don't think you need to.
And I do not think you need to at all.
No, because the rehearsal dinner would be happening regardless of, like you said, like it has to happen anyway because it's the wedding.
It can't hurt to do something, but I do not think at all you need to do something. And I think it would almost be too much.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what was the second part of that question though?
Gifts for bride and groom. I don't know if she's asking like gift suggestions or should I give a gift to the bride and groom. Well, obviously. Oh, yeah. Well, she has to give a gift to the bride and groom.
So she's giving she's going to this a wedding present. Wedding present. I mean, my reaction is if they have registered to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't registered anywhere, money.
Yeah, honestly.
Because you can't go wrong with money. And if you don't feel like money and you're getting zero guidance from a registry, you could do an experience of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a gift certificate to a restaurant in their hometown, wherever they're going to be.
Right.
And just kind of go general enough. Because if they haven't registered, then they really don't want little home things or whatever.
Pots, pans, etc.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that helps.
Yeah. I think that answers that. Okay. This was a funny question. It was just cute. Would love to know more of Anne's dating / relationship tips. I'm so single. And then in asterisks, she said hurts, and then it was a little sparkle emoji. I was like, oh my gosh, that is so cute.
It's sort of funny because I don't know what kind of dating advice I could give you because I dated dad for a very long time.
Yes.
But I do try and give you dating advice.
I mean, I think growing up with girls, so you're just like innately, you know how to give us advice.
My gut reaction advice would be to try some new things, which is very difficult to do. Put yourself in some different situations.
It sounds like we need to switch it up.
Yes, where you're working with, I feel like she needs to do something where she's working on some sort of a project where there are dateable people.
Totally.
Whether it's volunteering for something, maybe a young group organization that yes. she could go to.
People bond.
A sport.
How about
a volleyball
league? Could we join a league?
I mean, that's.
I need to know more information on the topic. Where do you live?
Right.
And how old are you? And what are some of your interests? And you've always said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but you've always said that working on a similar goal or purpose really is, it's a great way to get to know not only friends, but if you're looking to date, you have a kind of a shared experience together. You're going to find more luck than just going to a restaurant or like a bar or going out. If you are, it seems like we really need to change it up. We need to mm-hmm. completely go out of our comfort zone.
Golf league.
Yeah.
Volleyball.
Yep.
Pickleball,
softball, soccer.
Some sort of volunteer organization. I know that Claire, you know, we've talked about, she does the American Cancer Society, and it's the Young Professionals Organization. That might be a good thing. You can always try online dating.
Why don't we lean into some of these mutual friends? Do you work in an office? Do some of your coworkers have some single friends? I think it's always good when people start mm-hmm. kind of playing matchmakers, even if they don't always work. You could just like, that's a good place to find a date.
Right. Those that's a good idea.
Also, I this is maybe not always a pop, like just a random thing, but like I feel like moms always have, you know, do they know of my friend's son is single. I feel like they're really good at connecting. We were just even talking about that woman at dinner, one of our neighbors, and you ran into her at the grocery store and she was like, you know, do you know of anyone? My daughter's in her late 20s. I think she lives in another state, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she brought it up yes. to you. I feel like there's a networking. I feel like it's a marvelous Miss Maisel situation. So that could be another
moms
suggestion.
Moms could be helpful.
Moms, I feel like they really know things and they know whose kids are. Okay, next question. How to be kind and elegant, but still firm when asking for something?
Wow.
These are, I'm telling you, they wrote in really specific questions.
When you're asking
for something.
I feel
like you're really good at this.
Well, I think if you always frame it, not that I always do, but if you try to always frame it as kindly as possible,
mm-hmm.
it will come out firmly if you're feeling strong about whatever it is. So just choose your words and always focus on saying it in a positive way.
Oh, that's good.
So instead of saying, I can't think of an example, but frame things in a positive manner.
And stand your ground. Yeah.
Because I think even, you know, like when you think when you talk to children, instead of saying don't run, you would say please walk.
Mm-hmm.
And that same thing would happen where you still wanted to be firm with someone.
Right.
Use the positive, strong words instead of going full on negative.
I like that a lot. I think your message will get across a lot better.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think it also just is like comes with practice and confidence
and really look the person in the eye.
Strong eye contact
that goes a long way.
Totally. I like that question.
I think that can help.
Yeah, that was a good question, but that is hard, especially for women.
Also, praising in some cases can help.
Mm.
Then give your message
mm-hmm.
and start with a positive.
Yeah,
it's been so great how hard you're trying to get this project done for me. However, I still need da 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 da. So you're beginning with something positive. I know that's not always relevant if you're really upset about something, but that does also help.
No, but that's an elegant way of, because I also think that sometimes like the message doesn't get lost. You're probably going to be heard more. If the goal is to be heard and get something done, mm-hmm. I definitely think phrasing it in a positive light, like you said, standing your ground, starting with a compliment. I don't know the how serious this is that we're talking about.
Bullet point, what it is that you are trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and keep that strong eye contact for sure. For sure, that'll go a long way for you. This is a good one that we can answer. Go to college outfits. I am struggling to stay cute and classy. Oh. This is very niche, but I know what you're talking about.
You completely know what she's talking
about. Yes, I know what you're talking about because you maybe like to go out, you like to look cute, you like to dress nicely, but you want to stay classy, uncovered, and you know, stick to your style, stick to your guns. I would say that my one piece of advice, I have two pieces of advice that have always stuck. And even now, like in my going out post-grad life, it's still, you got to kind of work around it because it could be difficult. Mm-hmm. I would say that for the first semester, it's probably going to be warmer wherever you are because it's early fall, end of summer. So I would always do cute little dresses, you know, little dress, throw it on with a sneaker, a platform sneaker of some sort. You could even do like a cowgirl boot and accessorize it. You're good to go. Rompers are also going to be your best friend during this time because they're still like youthful enough, but you can kind of get away with it, you know, just like the romper being chic in its own way. So that's another tip. When it gets colder out, I would say that get yourself a good leather jacket and, you know, kind of distract with how cool that leather jacket is. And accessories. I'm always big into the accessories. Like when I was in Nashville, I just literally wore basically all black. I was in head to toe J. Crew. And I had like a cute, it was like a minier skirt, but it wasn't, not really. It was like a flouncy skirt that was
cute.
Yeah, but you know, still very classy and cute. And then I had really fun, like loud accessories, like a silver bag that was really kind of not flashy, but you know, like a cute Amazon silver bag and silver accessories. So distracting with accessories is also a good idea. The other thing I would recommend is like just stick to it and just be consistent, because then it becomes your thing and everyone expects it from you, and then it just becomes who you are, and then everyone starts to really get on board with it and enjoy it, and it's just like gonna be your fun little thing at college. Like, oh my gosh, like she always looks so cute and that's how she dresses, and then it becomes your personality and then it's just you.
That, I mean, that is just great
I
advice.
Could have a whole podcast on how to dress or going out clothes for college, because I know exactly what you're talking about. In fact, I think last summer I made a little TikTok about this and I showed like three or four dresses that I would wear going out in school. But rompers and dresses for first semester, when it gets colder, get yourself a cool pair of jeans, maybe like a rip or two, you know, because like no one's going to be offended by a kneecap.
Right.
And then cool jackets and accessories. Yeah. And just stick to it. Just be consistent. When you're going up and down, it's like, what's going on? What's your style?
And that is true. You stayed consistent and true to how you like to dress, and it is a tricky thing to try and go out and the going out clothes. My answer, which I think always annoyed all three of you, is I'm like, just wear a black top.
Yeah,
some sort of a little black top. And honestly, when you guys put it on, it really, when you really can't figure out what to wear going out, put on a black top.
Put on a black top. Start with a black top and work around it. Yeah,
black top and jeans. I mean,
yes. Because, I mean, I totally, you walk into some parties and you're like, I'm sorry, where did everyone's clothes go? And then you feel like you're, you know, an elderly woman. But again, you just have to stick with it because then it just becomes your thing. Mm-hmm. So that's my answer to that.
I think you actually look better doing that than going all over the place.
Oh,
like dressing one way and then dressing completely different. Like, who are you?
Right, because then it's just like, oh, that's how she is. You know, like, that's just like, you know, that's her.
Mm-hmm.
Even girls' styles that are not my style, but I know that it's their style and they stick to it. Like, I'm like, that's a cool girl. I've talked about this before. Like, even if it's not your style, just stick to something.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's my answer to that. Okay. Making friends in a new city, just moved to Pittsburgh from Houston and need some advice.
Wow. This new friend thing, it's difficult.
It's a worldwide thing.
It is.
It
and
is.
It's very difficult. And let's see if we can come up with some
good
advice.
I do have some tips for this.
Okay, go. Let's hear
Number one, you got to find a Facebook group that puts together social events. Join that group. Ask to be, you know, let in. And then look at the different activities. They have them in every city. You know, you just have to sometimes have an Instagram, walking clubs, find a walking club nearby. You just show up. If you have one friend, bring that one friend. If you don't have a friend, just go by yourself. The worst that will happen is you'll walk by yourself for 45 minutes
and
you'll get over it. You won't.
Because sometimes it's, if you're all by yourself, it really forces you.
Yes. So Facebook group, go to some of those activities and then just start reaching out on social media.
Maybe a coworker.
A coworker.
So if you have a new job, maybe a coworker would help you in those beginning days.
Completely. Yes.
If you were in a sorority,
reach out to your alumni.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they have
might
like
be a group, like a
alumni
group.
That's a great idea.
Also, just any young professional organization. I'm going to go back to the whole volunteer somewhere, church group.
Yeah. Or even, you know, people who went to your, if you went to college, like in that city, even if they're 5-6 years older, you're in the same stage of life at this point. So just reach out.
You can also see if your college or university has an alum group.
Yes, I have gone to some of the Miami alumni events.
Also, sporting events.
Oh my God, how did I forget about this? Of course, we have done an overhaul on sporting events. This is actually like the easiest thing to do, and you'll probably see the fastest results if you don't want to, like, you know, join Facebook groups and like join volunteer things. Literally go to a baseball game. I'm not kidding. It's $12 a ticket or whatever it is. Go with one other person, go with a family member, and go get the like the district seats. Go to an area in your stadium where
Does
there's
Pittsburgh
like
a have bar. A baseball
I don't
team?
Know. Let's look it up. Wait, let me look it up.
Okay.
Pittsburgh's got to have a baseball team.
I mean, there's Pittsburgh Steelers for football.
Hold on. We can figure this out. Pittsburgh Pirates. Is that a professional league? Yeah. Official Pittsburgh Pirates, MLB. So they have a they have a professional team. So great. What you're going to do is you're going to buy some Pittsburgh Pirates district seats. Mm-hmm. So it's only standing room. So there's going to be like a bar and you're not going to have a seat.
Do you think they have that at their?
I'm sure every baseball stadium has these like district. I don't know if they're going to be called district seats.
I don't want to lead her wrong.
And walk around and get a drink and just plop yourself down there. And there's probably going to be boys. But if we're not focused on that, then hopefully they have brought some friends that are girls. And if there are just a few girls, just strike up a conversation. So that's my advice. You could do that.
Also, coffee shops. Now, maybe everyone in the coffee shop is just keeping them to themselves. But again, you could just sort of say hi or smile at somebody.
Yeah. Or consistently pick one coffee shop to keep going to. Mm-hmm. And then if you like are seeing regular people, that could work. I know there's one coffee shop in Cleveland that there's like always just girls there because it's kind of like a girly coffee shop.
Right.
So that's like a good place to like maybe find out where the more feminine coffee shops are.
But my favorite idea is the first one where you said like a walking club.
Yes.
Or walking group. Facebook where they're gearing activities of gathering people.
Yes.
To make girlfriends.
Yes. So that would be my advice on that topic. Please keep us updated.
No. And everything. Any ideas.
Yes.
People should send in their ideas as well.
For,
you know, that'd be nice. Like, oh, yeah, DM for you. What, like, what any has tips.
Worked. Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alrighty. Relationship with my mother-in-law is strained. Need advice.
Dear. Okay. Well, my first reaction would be that maybe reach out to her. We don't know why it's strained.
Yeah.
So I'm not certain if you've done something.
I guess is that if it's she's writing in, then like she probably didn't do anything.
I don't think she did. I don't think
that if she follows me, I don't think our podcast listener
did something wrong. I'm completely on her side.
Totally.
And I want to help this strained relationship.
But we do need a little bit more background, but we're going to give general advice.
I would say that the bigger thing to do, and what I think is really sweet, is that she doesn't want to have a strained relationship.
Yes.
I mean, you obviously love your husband, and the best thing that your mother-in-law did was produce your husband.
Right. So let's just remember that.
And that is very important to keep in mind. And so my first tip would be to reach out and ask her to go do something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she likes to do, but go out to lunch. Do you want to grab coffee? We haven't spent time together. You know, and ask her out. If you're too afraid to even say that, because I will tell you, I wouldn't have been able to just say that to my mother-in-law.
No.
But I would have suggested, like, I would go out and do something. Or stop over with a plant.
Yeah. Just
or
thinking of you.
I was just, yes. And you don't even have to get super emotional about anything, but you could, a small gesture.
Yeah.
I made some cookies, thought you would like them, and bring that over. You know what? I would start with something like that.
Olive branch.
Assuming that you're in the same town.
Oh, right.
Which I'm kind of feeling it is because if it's strained. But if you're not in the same town, maybe just send her flowers just because. Or send her a little card that, I was just thinking of you.
Yeah.
Just real generic where you're not bringing up any problems.
No.
Or you're not broaching the topic for why it is strained.
We're going to use food or material items to fix this problem.
Mm-hmm. Look at it as a hostess gift.
Look at it as for the rest of your life.
Right. Just a little, like you said, an olive branch. We don't know why.
If you want to give us more details, though, we could for sure unpack this.
Honestly, I would love to know why.
Yeah, no, that was kind of like the goal of this whole thing.
I want more details.
Me too. And I thought I should have preface that. That was on my end. That was a communication problem. I think they were like confused. Is this just to ask questions to your mom? But I said like advice for us to give. And by us, I mean you.
They did a great job. I think that if you do it again, I would like specifics.
Okay, yeah. If you're listening, just know that these are specific scenarios that we want to unpack.
And I would love if the person has a strained relationship could DM Emily.
We'll keep it anonymous, obviously.
Oh, no, keep it anonymous. But I would love to know more of the details.
Yes.
Because that's not fun to have a strained. And then it puts pressure on your marriage because your husband doesn't want you to have a strained relationship with his mom.
Do you think, okay, wait, let me just like, let's play out a scenario.
Okay.
Do you think that the husband, like at what point should the husband get involved, like Ooh. In defense of his wife towards the mother? Because like, I'm just assuming that the woman who wrote in like hasn't done anything because she clearly cares enough to fix this relationship mm-hmm. or whatever. So like what?
Okay. Right away, I get worried by that because then it puts the boy, I'm going to call the man.
Right.
He's now in between two strong women in his life that he loves.
Yeah, don't do that.
Because, I mean, unless it's, you know, something terrible that his right. mom has done, then he needs to say, mom, that's enough or whatever. But that's also difficult to say. But I think it would go a very long way for our listener to reach out to the mother-in-law because I think it's going to be a win-win-win.
Yeah.
Mother-in-law is going to be happy, potentially. Her husband is going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to feel better.
Yeah.
Because she's going to realize that she bridged this gap and she is the reason why. Because you have a long life with this person. They're not going away.
They're not going away.
And these you don't want them. You no. want them to be, I mean, if they end up having children, you
yeah.
know, that's a grandma. You can't have a strained relationship with grandma.
Yeah. We need more details. That's,
we do.
We need more details.
I'm going to say.
We're going to fix this problem.
Start with a little gift of some sort. A little gesture. Whether it's a card, a text, an email, flowers.
Something.
Candy.
We're going to start right. fixing this Band-Aid with some money. Okay, we're going to start by doing that. And then once we know more details, we can go from there.
Yep.
We can determine how far we need to take this gift.
Right.
And then. And
bake some cookies.
Start baking, honey.
Stat.
Because this is. She's not going away.
No.
She's not going away.
Not,
and you want a happy life for your children and their grandmother.
Because she could get meaner.
She could get meaner. We gotta nip this in the bud. I'm assuming mm-hmm. you don't have children either. I'm just assuming all these things. Again, we need more details. But
we're thinking about you.
We're totally thinking of mm-hmm. you, and we will all get to the bottom of this. So
yes.
I could go back in my archives and figure out who asked that, and maybe like reach out. Or she can reach out to me after you listen to this.
Yeah.
We don't want to meddle in your problems.
No.
But like kind of tell us everything. Like what? Seriously, like what happened?
I know.
I wonder how long they've been married.
I don't know. And I always think that communication is the best way to go about it.
Yeah.
Just start by baking some cookies. And
get in the kitchen.
Or buy the cookies.
Or buy something.
Put a yeah. big bow around the box.
But and if you're saying if she doesn't live near this person.
Send a card.
You could send something. Would you? Maybe well, they don't feel comfortable to like call them up. You know? Oh, hi. Oh.
Okay, I just know that I would have had trouble calling my mother-in-law up and calling yeah. her out on it and asking her. So
no, I'm not even saying to call her out. I'm just saying to call her.
She could do that. I'm scared for her. Like, I don't know why it's strained.
I don't know what I mean? Yes.
So she could definitely she could call her up. But it seems like she needs to kind of soften her up a little bit
yeah.
with something and then talk to her.
I told you this earlier. I was like, this was like, I don't know how many questions we have, maybe like 15. I had way more. I just chose the specific ones.
I want to say that overall, as a mom
mm-hmm.
and a wife, you definitely want to do whatever you can, in my opinion, to keep the peace. You want to model eventually for your children. So you don't want your children to see that you had this strained relationship and that you could have potentially have fixed it at some point. Because you're only modeling then for your children.
Totally.
This is the kind of behavior that is okay.
And it's not. Right.
And I don't think that it is. Because ideally you want, there's nobody more important
yeah.
than family. And this is your husband's mom.
And you married your husband for a reason.
Yes. And And though she's older, and you would hope that she would be the one to kind of lead the nice relationship, in this case, you're going to have to do it.
You have to do
it. And go overboard
for your future children.
You are a part now of their family, and you're going to have to do the effort.
Wow, that was good.
Was it?
Yeah, that was really good.
I'm worried for her. I feel bad.
This is hard, and I'm feeling for this girl right now, but I think that was really good advice.
Okay, good.
And long term, I think this needs to be solved.
Good.
And Bose and Co. would love to know more. Okay. The last question, on a lighter note.
Okay.
How to find an interior designer that matches your goals?
Ooh.
I know the answer to this one for you. Like what you're, like, I think I know what you should say.
Okay. I interviewed.
Yeah. That's literally what I was going to say, Mom.
Was it?
That's literally what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
I interviewed. It is not, okay, first of all, I think that word of mouth, if you have a friend or somebody that you know and you admire their style and you admire the way they've decorated their house with their decorator, that would be the best route.
Mm-hmm.
Could I please have your decorator, your designer's name and number? I would like to talk to him, because that's the best way. I did not have that. For whatever reason, I was having trouble. So I interviewed. I went on House, mm-hmm. Houzz, and I looked up a lot of different designers in the area, and I interviewed.
You did.
I had a number of meetings,
mm-hmm.
until I found
the one. But I will say, the way that you were able to get a hold of this to even have the interview was through word of mouth.
Well, a couple of other ideas is look at their website, the designer's website, and
yes.
get a feel for some of their past projects, because that will tell you a tremendous amount of their style. Have a good understanding of what you want.
Totally.
What is the style that you're looking for? And I think that when you look at a designer's website, you can also see if they can kind of do a bunch of different things. It just depends on what you're looking for. But if you have a clear idea of what you want when you meet with the decorator or the designer, you can kind of elaborate on what those things are and get a good feel for how they operate, you know, what their system is.
Yeah, I think knowing what you want, and then can this person accomplish it?
And also, before you have an interview, I would put together some sort of a mood board, whether you do it on Canva or you rip pictures out of magazines.
Yeah.
I do that. I have a folder that I carry around. And then you can point out things that you like from the designer's website. This is a style I like. These are pictures of things that I like. Is this something that you are able to do? And you'll get a good feeling from that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also make sure they understand what your background is, how you live, the things that you like, what's important. You know, do you watch a lot of TV in a room? Do you not? Just so you can get a feel for the setup.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's all
I
very good
that
advice.
That would help.
And you did everything that you just mentioned, and your designer is a perfect fit.
Cheers. So.
Okay, everyone, I think that's our show for today. I feel like we covered so much.
It was fun.
There's still some, you know, stories that we need more answers to, but I definitely think that we're going to do this advice more, and when I bring you in, because I obviously don't know anything. I just know everything from you. But I really liked this setup of the episode today. So be sure to follow me on all my socials. We hope you all have a great week, and thank you so much, Anne, for joining us once again.
You are so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. And remember that everything is, in fact, better with a bow. Bye-bye now.